On Friday, September 28th, the Norris Group proudly presents its 11th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts will join Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, tech disruption, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. All proceeds from the event benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event is not possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club, Inland Empire Real Estate Investment Club, Think Realty, Wilson Investment Properties, Coach Fullerton, First Lending Solutions, Property Radar, the Apartment Owners Association, MVT Productions, and Realty 411. Visit isurvivedrealestate.com for event information and see Amazon Prime or YouTube for past events.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron Norris. Today we have Nick Bailey. He is president and CEO of Century 21, a wholly owned subsidiary of Realogy Holdings Corp., and he leads the iconic Century 21 brand and the organization's approximately 7,400 independently owned and operated offices and more than 115,000 independent sales professionals in 79 countries worldwide. He has over 21 years of industry experience as a licensed broker and is known to be a trailblazing revenue-generating operator who increases margins while ultimately mitigating the impact of economic change. We last saw Bailey in his role as Vice President of Broker Relations for the Zillow Group. He was on our panel in I Survived Real Estate a few years back. And before that, he spent 12 years at RE/MAX Worldwide Headquarters as Vice President. So, Nick, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, and always glad to be with you.
Well, I was super excited that you said yes to this because I think there's so much technology change going on, and you always immediately come to mind because for somebody to move from Zillow to one of the most iconic brands in real estate, and before you came on, might I use the word stodgy, but the rebrand has been spectacular. But when you first, when the press release first went out, what was people's reaction to you making that move from Zillow to Century 21?
Yeah, great question. You know, obviously Zillow Group has done a lot of forward movement and done a lot of interesting things in the industry. And so people did say, hey, one of them specifically was, why would you leave the, quote, industry darling and get back into kind of the franchise brokerage side? But it was pretty easy. I mean, I wasn't looking for the role at the time, but after I engaged in conversations, I looked at it as a great opportunity to help create some clarity for not only franchisors, but for brokerages. Because what I saw was the industry is really noisy, really noisy. And I was an agent, a broker, a franchisor, worked on the consumer tech side during my time with Zillow Group and the various companies that were acquired. And it amazes me how we are in a time where a lot of agents and brokerages are questioning their relevancy or their value proposition to not only consumers, but to real estate agents. And I think that's just due to being a very noisy environment. And so I thought it would be a great opportunity to use the different components of the experience that I've had in the industry to try to create clarity for best known brand in the biz.
Number one, I want to say that the rebrand has been stunning. I'm a PR and marketing nerd, and I've been watching quite intently on everything that you guys are doing, and the from the graphics to the language, it's been pretty impactful and really fun to watch. What's been the response from the agents that are in-house?
Overwhelmingly, it has been positive. And we knew with the network this size, we had to get this right to make us clean, crisp, sophisticated, relevant for today and moving forward. And the truth of it is we have two audiences that we deal with in this business, which is consumers, buyers, and sellers. And this brand has been around nearly 50 years, and consumers have come to love it, know it, and trust it. And that's one of the best assets we have as an organization. At the same time, we also have a second group of individuals, which is the industry, real estate agents and brokers. And when you're dealing with an organization that is 50 years strong, we also have to admit that we've been around 50 years. And there were many components of our brand identity that, because of graphics and the visual changes and flat designs and some of those things that impact how we view brands and interact with them, we decided it was time to do that. and create updates to make sure that we were as fresh and relevant for today as we will be tomorrow.
I laugh a little bit because I watched the National Association of Realtors try to launch a brand new logo, and people don't think that's a big deal, but the amount of flack that they got for that, and kudos to your team, because I didn't see anything negative about the rebrand. And when you're touching something, you know, 50 years old, there's a lot of responsibility that goes with that, and you never know exactly what response you're going to get. So,
No, it's true, but hey, we didn't do it in the back room. I mean, we did it with a lot of responsibility, a lot of research. We had some great partners that we worked with in an agency and another company. And because for us, it was a little bit different than probably NAR experienced. They were just creating more of a logo, from what I understand. We were truly rebranding our identity, not just slapping a new logo on the old ways. Because in so many ways, there are so many components to our business that are different, and we wanted to reflect that. And I'll give you one example. 27 years ago, when I started selling real estate and had MLS books, it was about the consumer came to me first and then houses second. Mm. And that is totally opposite of consumer behavior today. Consumers have access to view homes virtually in many different capacities. And so they generally go to real estate and look first, and then engage with an agent second. So the process of how we can connect with consumers is different in just a very short period of time. And if we're not listening to consumer behavior, I think that's a dangerous place to be. And so for our rebranding, it was a combination of our new mission statement, which is to defy mediocrity and deliver extraordinary experiences, because most consumers will tell you after they buy or sell and get to the closing table, it didn't have a good time and don't want to do it again anytime in the near future. And that's a shame. But that tells me we have opportunity to make it a better consumer experience. Hmm.
I agree. And I love the word on your website, the word relentless. There's just some really great language that you guys are using. And it's a great segue into what you're saying. It was a total rebrand of not just the message and the logo, but I'm assuming somewhat of some technology. Is there other things that are coming along with the rebrand?
There are, and technology, especially coming from my background and my age, I'm a big fan of it. And I think there are two components, that there's one, engaging consumers on what they want to see when they start their adventure and looking to buy or sell. And then I think that we also have the other side of it, which is agents are demanding better productivity tools. And the industry has been late to the table in many ways. There are still real estate professionals out there that are logging into 6 or 7 different systems to try to do their business. And the lack of integration in our space has so much room to grow. Mm. And so I think that we've got a nice runway to create streamlined mobile-first productivity tools for real estate agents that help them scale to a much greater degree.
I like
that. I'll give you a stat that amazed me. 2011, there were about 4.8 million transactions. There were about 4.5 million leads, online leads generated. 6 years later, 5.5 million transactions, so not that much different, and 87 million leads generated.
Oh, wow.
And this year it could likely exceed over 100. And so you have this space where leads are flying around at agents in all different directions, and they need them to land in one spot, and they need to be able to engage with them and take care and handle their needs versus 8 different systems to try to figure out who's who and who's qualified and what's real and what's not.
Yeah, there's a real problem too with leads coming in multiple ways. So I have some clients that want to talk to me on Facebook, and nobody's, thank God, contact me on Twitter or Snapchat. That would be horrible. But email, text messages, it's intense. And to have just the right message at just the right time and the platform that people want, that's not easy. And it's a very expensive integrated system that can manage all that.
We also have to look outside of our industry, and that's what we did as part of this venture on the rebrand work as well. When you look, there are some very big companies out there that believe, one of them quoted that email will be dead in 5 years. And when you say that, and I say that in front of a crowd on a fairly regular basis, it's a pin drop that you see people say, well, wait, how would I do what I do without email? But you're right. Over 50%, more like 70% of my engagement with our system comes through some type of social media platform.
Wow.
I no longer use email for a communication tool. I use it for a productivity tool to transfer needed things internally within the company, attachments, and you know, some of my reports and files. But in terms of just pure communication, you and I didn't communicate to set this up via email.
We didn't. We did via Facebook.
Exactly. So anyway, just a great example that if we also pay attention outside of our industry, we can create some good learnings on how we are behaving just now in society and take advantage of that, make it applicable to real estate.
I guess it's a good segue into technology. And I think a lot of realtors are, especially the ones that have been around a long time, there's a feeling that technology is moving so quickly that there is a sense of, I'm just giving up, I'm about to retire anyway, but there's a lot of stress on the relevancy of being a realtor. So what is the future of the realtor?
My opinion is that the real estate professional is and will continue to be in my lifetime in this business the most crucial part of the transaction. It's the way in which we engage with consumers. We create visibility throughout their transaction process, make it an extraordinary experience, and we help real estate agents be more productive. All of those things we'll leverage technology to do. But the concept of every house in our country being put in a shopping cart and you click checkout, it's there. Because I think that the trusted advisor role that a real estate professional brings to a buyer or seller to make the biggest decision that most people will make in terms of financial investment requires more than just a shopping cart experience.
I would agree. Okay. Do you see the compression of agents moving forward, or do you see a real growth in the industry overall?
Barriers of entry have been low in our industry for a long, long time. And I think as real estate cycles, and it will continue to do so, we will have really hot markets, we will have slower markets, we will have buyer markets, we will have seller markets. But depending on the flow of where the market is, I think we'll continue to see more people get their license in some years and then they don't. Right now, we're in a growth cycle just because a decade ago, we lost nearly 35% of all licensees. Mm-hmm. But we also still have a huge number of people that just have a license or do one or two deals a year. And that's where we come in and where we said, hey, we want to defy mediocrity because unfortunately, with such low barriers of entry, it allows for mediocrity to exist in our industry. Hmm. It just does. And I think until state licensing and associations, they're all based on volume. And this is also generally a third, fourth, or fifth career for people. And so the combination of all those things means we're going to have people continue to get in the business. We're going to have people that get out of the business because then they think it's a get-rich-quick scheme, not the hard work that it really takes. Mm. But we're on the uptick, and I don't see that slowing down for the next couple of years.
Interesting. So do you think that there's going to be a push for those part-time agents to be pushed out?
I don't think you can ever really push out a part-time agent. And I'm a great example. I don't sell real estate, but I have a license. So I'm one of those hanging there with no transaction. And you may have someone that has a license that maybe sells one or two deals because they help out a family member or a friend here and there. I don't think that there's ever going to be a pressure that pushes them out. I think they push themselves out when they just decide that they don't want to pay the renewal fees associated with holding a license. That being said, though, I do see with the increase in technology and the importance of productivity for agents that you're going to have your big producers continue to get larger. Look at just even 20, 30 years ago, if you're an agent doing 35, 40 transactions a year as an individual agent, that was a lot. And because of efficiencies, I met an agent just last week that does nearly 200 transactions by themselves.
Wow.
They're a machine. But I know they're leveraging pieces of technology that help them scale their business. So I think you're going to see bigger get bigger, but it's not going to push out.
I definitely see that. It's really a professionalization in our industry, and it's happening other side, like the vacation rental space. There's that conversation that's really getting professionalized now that we've got the technology there. It's a business, and so people are treating that as such, especially when you start spending the money on advertising and technology to create that business. It's really hard to come in and be, I love the word mediocre. It's really hard to be mediocre and make a living at this.
Some people take offense when I call components of our industry mediocre, but I think it's the reality of how we're set up in terms of being able to get a license and sell real estate.
I agree.
And the sooner we admit that that's the nature of it, and I love it. I've heard this for a couple of decades, every meeting I go to say, well, now that I have a license, it needs to be a lot harder for everybody else to get one. And we need to raise these barriers. But it was those barriers that allowed a lot of really good people to get into the business too.
True.
And so we can't forget that either.
Well, and now it just seems like in the last 2 years, the heat's really been put on by some new competitors. I think the discount brokerages, it's not necessarily anything new, but I've been really surprised at some of the language they're using and some of the marketing. So it's not just Purple Bricks. I can't think of the one that's running a commercial right now, but it's almost offensive if you've been in the business a long time, so that they're just trying to discredit the agent. And I've heard really mixed reviews. I don't think people always understand they're looking to save a dime, but don't really understand everything that goes into the process. And you're really banking on volume. And at volume, can you provide the kind of experience that you want? So it's another key word that's in your new motto that I really gravitated towards. Are you scared of these low cost disruptors at all?
Here's how I look at it. People talk about models and new companies. And when you start peeling away the layers, they're competing on price.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, commissions are always negotiable. And so if what defines a real estate model is the amount of commission, then I guarantee I have every model out there in even our own system. Because if you think back, every agent has had clients that maybe, Aaron, you bought first house from me, and then 3 years later, you were move up because maybe you have a family expansion or scenario or situation. And then you referred me to your brother and your uncle, or a scenario where it was creating a volume of income for the agent in which they returned the favor and said, hey, Aaron, you've sent me so much business, and I know you're selling this house and moving up into a bigger one. I'm going to give you a break on the commission on selling your house, and I'll make that up on the buy side of the other one. That's just been the nature of our business ever since I've been involved in it. And so the beautiful price part is commissions are always negotiable. But I will say this. There's the what's cropping up now is maybe the talk about employee model versus commission model and around experiences. And someone asked me which one's more viable. Maybe aren't we in a scenario now where the employee model will work better? And my response is, consumers, this isn't new. Consumers have voted time and time again that they like the commission model better because I believe that there is more vested interest for the agent to work harder on behalf of the buyer and seller with that model.
Real estate isn't always neat and clean either. There's a lot of different things, possibilities with estate planning. Real estate can be as complicated as you want to make it. And then you layer on estate planning and there's lots of it there to do. So when it comes to real estate, there's estate planning. Real estate gets as complicated as you want to make it. So I definitely see a value in the more complicated transactions. Is there a lot of training going on in that kind of space?
I think there's constantly training. And it takes me back to history repeats itself. And I remember 04, 05, 06, by the way, and you couldn't get an agent to sit through a training seminar for anything. They would say, hey, I'm good. I've got this business. Put a sign in the yard, multiple offers, things are flying off the shelf. And all of a sudden, when foreclosures and short sales, and I can't tell you how many agents, when I would say short sale, and they'd say, what is that? Because they hadn't experienced it before. And so as we go through and have different cycles, I think that there's always room for training. The transactions continue to be and get more complicated year after year. And so I think agents have to be well-informed and well-trained. I think it's super important.
I've been at seminars where there's a lot of competition in the hard money space, and a lot of it's very technology focused. And I always ask the questions of panels when they're available. If we experience a decent recession, how many of these specific kind of competitors will likely fade? And it's been getting higher. And the last time I asked the question, a specific panelist that was involved in the software business said 85% was the number that he expected to disappear. So when you're looking across the spectrum of some of the disruptors in the technology space, are they recession ready? Or when it gets a little tougher, will that model no longer work?
I think it depends on what kind of financial backing they have. And, you know, we talked a little earlier and you asked about some of the quote discounters, that are out there. I always say that I don't know why we use that term in real estate, because commissions are negotiable. So really, they're not discounters, but I know they get referred to that way. But if we go back to 04, 05, 06, and I'm not going to mention them by name, but there were several companies that their advertising push was the exact same as some of these startups that we're seeing right now. And they didn't survive the recession. And so they were not recession-proof at the time, and it had a lot to do with a lot of their funding. But in some of these companies today, they're very well-funded. When you look at the number that tipped over $1 billion coming into even the technology side of the business this last year, some of them are very, very well-funded, but they're also expanding very, very rapidly, which puts good scale on their side. But at the same time, there is a point at which companies can't carry debt load. And if they go through recession where they just can't get through that, it's going to be tough. So, yes, I believe that there are a handful that are not going to make it if we go through some type of recession. But we'll see who they are.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left. I knew it was going to go quickly. Are there any technology companies or services or trends that you're really excited about, whether it's artificial intelligence or virtual reality, that you think will just really change our business?
I think that there are two that I find personally interesting. One, when you look at predictive analytics and the entire idea around artificial intelligence, I believe in the next 24 to 36 months, it's going to get the most attention of the chatter in the industry. I also believe it will be where agents throw money, and it will likely have some high churn, because anything that fairly new agents jump on board and are great with adopting, they like the next best thing, but then it has to be proven out. And I think some of these organizations will figure out which ones are going to do it really well and which ones are not. And so I think it's a pretty interesting space, but I do like the idea of turning on my phone in the morning as a real estate agent and saying, these are the three people in your farm area that may be interested in selling. Figure out how to contact them. And that whole concept of Big Brother is the world we live in. Whether Alexa's listening to us or Siri or not, we just kind of are going down that path with some of our technology. So I think that's really interesting. The other thing that I think is interesting that we're working on is, I mentioned how buyers and sellers are demanding better experiences, just period, in daily life. Mm-hmm. And one of our survey results is my favorite. When you get to the closing table, this was just an industry-wide, not specific to us, our system, but just buyers and sellers in general, 40% said they'd rather have a root canal than go through the buying or selling process again.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But what I think is interesting is right now home search is fun. People engage in it all the time. When you go to home shopping and truly engage in wanting to buy or sell, and then you go through the under contract to close period, that is still ridden by darkness, anxiety, fear, stress, everything that you can imagine, and why I believe that those survey results say that when you get to the closing table. And so the other technology component that I think is interesting, and I can't give away our trade secret on what we're working on, but you think in a world in where we can take that entire process and create a better look inside for the buyers and sellers that are involved and reduce that amount of anxiety and fear through a home shopping to close, I think that's a winner.
When do you think we'll start seeing that?
Well, maybe in my next meeting, I'll find out when.
To be continued.
In the future, in the not so distant future. And granted, those types of things, I think a lot of people are trying to solve for. And you hear the cliche in our industry is an end-to-end solution or a lead-to-close solution. And granted, everybody's looking at that through various platforms. But I'm talking something a little different that engages consumers. And we're using examples of companies outside of our industry as we look at how we develop this extraordinary experience for a buyer or seller.
Cool. Okay. Well, I knew this was going to fly. If people want to check out the new brand, where should they head?
Come see us at Century21.com. You'll see a lot of the new rebrand work there. But right now, yard signs are popping up, the new building signs are popping up, they're in our advertising. So I think people are going to start to see it a lot in their local market too.
Well, congrats. It looks great, and thanks for taking the time.
Always great to talk with you.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate, Guaranteed Rate, and Nathan Chiboya, In-A-Day Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Jason Thorman with Coldwell Banker, Jennifer Buys Houses, Keystone CPA, LA South RIA, Las Brisas Escrow, Lawyers Title, Michael Ryan and Associates, New Western, NorCal RIA, NSDREI, Orange County Real Estate Investors, The Outspoken Investor, Pacific Premier Bank, Pasadena Phoebe, Pilot Limousine, SJREI, Spinnaker Loans, South OC RIA, Tri-County Association of Realtors, UDirect IRA Services, White House Catering. See isurvivedrealestate.com for event information.